Thank you, Desiree. Okay, this is Terry Lane Genoway calling to order the February 22nd, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. We are being recorded and Cynthia Thacker will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, well, I have a flag behind me, but I think you guys also put it up. So please stand, please. And begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Cynthia. And Elizabeth, if you could please take roll.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway?
Present.
Jean Hernandez?
Present.
John Pointer?
Present.
Dave Tetzloff?
Present.
Cynthia Thacker?
Here.
Cimini, Meredith Cimini?
Present.
Meredith?
Present.
Okay. Everybody's present. We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. We also have with us today is Barbara Sloat, the chair of the Wellbeing Reimagined Standing Committee. Thank you for joining us, Barbara. Okay, now it is time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no comment is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak?
We did not receive any public comment beforehand, and there are no members of the public present this morning.
Okay, thank you. So public comments is now closed. We are on to item five, action item AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency rising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
I'll second Elizabeth's motion to move it.
You guys are way ahead of me. I can only talk so fast. It was moved by Elizabeth, seconded by Jean. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Say nay. Abstain. Aye.
Oh, I mean, no, I don't oppose.
I'm sorry.
I heard you say nay. That's what a follower I am.
We good. I'll have to remember that, Jean. Any abstentions?
Okay, we still need to do a roll call vote. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jean's thank you for at least this is a short one.
It's okay. He's trying to get us two votes and when he's only allowed one.
That's true.
I have to remember that. Either watch him or use that sometimes.
Yeah, say nay.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez?
Yes.
John Pointer?
Yes.
Dave Tetzlaff?
Yes.
Cynthia Thacker?
Here. Oh, yes.
Meredith Chalemi.
Yes.
And that is majority.
Okay, thank you. Passes unanimously. We are now on to office on, well, you know what? Let's do Cynthia's report first, because then after office on aging updates, we can just roll into our SCAC business. So Cynthia, are you ready or do you want Erica to go first?
No, that's okay. Okay, so as liaison chair, I know sometimes even in the past, it's like, okay, what do I say to the when I want to communicate with the senior centers? So I thought to help us along, we would, you know, have a question or gather some information. I thought that part up, and Elaine thought, well, let's ask you guys if there's some information you think that we can use as maybe like a survey or whatever, so we can communicate with our liaison, especially going into a new year, 2 years after you know, the shutdowns and stuff like that. So Elaine, do you want just somebody to raise their hand and call on? If anybody has a thought that what we might ask the senior centers.
Yeah, so earlier we did a survey and the result of that was providing them, the city contracted with, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the company that provided
Charitable Ventures.
Yeah,
Charitable Ventures, thank you. And then that toolkit was developed for senior center staffs to access for when the clients started coming back to the senior centers. So what information do we need from our senior centers that can be useful in us carrying out our mission in either our request to the Board of Supervisors or information that's provided or information that needs to be developed for them?
It can be as simple as what tools can we provide, help for, give for you if you need any tools or something like that. So,
Yeah, or have you noticed something new about the seniors who are coming back that we now need to address? Erica, did you have something?
Well, I did until you just framed it like that, because that's a different spin on it. But I was thinking that after Charitable Ventures completed their contract with us, we asked them to develop a survey on the effectiveness of the tool. And at the time, the only people that were surveyed were those that participated in the steering committee. Right. So I was thinking of maybe a phase two would be to use that same survey and have the senior centers or those that are out in the community working in the field to use the tool or to respond regarding the effectiveness of the tool if they have any feedback for what we could, you know, refine or add in terms of content to the toolbox. I guess we could include questions like, what are some new needs that you might be assessing since you're reopening?
Well, it's just open for this. I'm just opening it up that if that's what we want to go with, just that, I don't want to make it lengthy or anything, because we can utilize maybe in two or three months another one. I'm just trying to activate us into connecting with our senior center. So it's not it's important, but it's not necessarily the question. And if you think, Erica, that would be a great start, I like that idea. So I'll leave it at that and the rest comments.
Okay. Meredith?
Yeah, one of the issues that has been percolating also is the senior center's ability to interact with seniors that are experiencing homelessness that are coming to the senior centers. I know that that is more of an issue in some cities than others, but that's something that I've been hearing about too.
Okay. I think, you know, just, and it's not, oh, well, John has his hand up. John.
This is directed to Erica. Erica, do the senior center directors still meet on a quarterly or some basis? So
yes, they do. They meet monthly. I don't attend personally, but I do have someone on my team that represents the Office on Aging at those meetings.
So how do we coordinate our efforts so that we're not at counter purposes with those meetings, or do we become a participant or a guest of those meetings? Because when I talked to Nadia at the Susie Q, she's all over it. She knows, she's been doing this a long time. They've got a pretty strong program. So she's courteous to me. We've known each other for a long time, but at the same time, I think she's going, wait a minute. I meet with the county. I don't mind sharing information with you as well, but I feel like I'm a third wheel sometimes, or I'm behind the curve, so to speak. So I want to make sure I'm doing positive things. And I think this is a great idea. I just don't want to add another meeting to Nadia's schedule, or at the same time, be chasing the issue if it's already being discussed at the monthly meetings or something like that. So that might be, I guess I'm trying to say long-windedly, how do we integrate, is it practical, or does it make sense to integrate this in some way into the monthly meetings?
I think it's very reasonable to ask to be included on the agenda for that monthly meeting so that we could introduce the idea of the survey, you know, even get their feedback. Because I think you're right, John, there's meetings for the sake of business, right? Some of them have contracts with the county, some are operating programs that are funded through other sources, they're meeting their mandate. But I think SCAC's role in terms of the senior center liaison is really to look out for the best interest of the seniors themselves, the clients themselves. So Cynthia, you even wanted to come and introduce yourself as the liaison for SCAC.
Well, I mean, Elaine, I'm new at this, Elaine, but I really thought that we'd contact them just to find out in any needs or to help them with the seniors and not really introducing programs with them, right? So this was just more about, let's find a way to encourage people to call their senior centers and say, hi, and by the way, what do you think about this?
Yeah, well, and it's also to get an assessment of something that we've asked the county to put resources towards and to see whether or not that was, whether or not it met its purpose. Before we continue our discussion here, let me bring in Elizabeth. She has her hand up.
I just want to reiterate what John said. I've known Melanie at the Mission Viejo Senior Center, and she's very nice, but it's like, I've got it, Elizabeth, not to worry, okay? And you, if we need anything, we'll let you know, but it's really just what John said. But as far as the mission,
what I'm planning to do is visit the two senior centers that I'm assigned to. I haven't done that yet during the pandemic. And I think that that's going to help the relationship because there's nothing like an in-person connection, at least one time. So I'm going to go to the Fountain Valley Senior Center in March.
Mm-hmm. And also, when you talk to them, I mean, your role, SCAC's role, is we are the citizen representatives. Mm-hmm. We are the representatives of those who are visiting the senior centers. And we are then, and this is the charge that the Board of Supervisors has given us. So we are not staffing the senior centers, but we are representing the residents of Orange County and providing their advocacy to the Board of Supervisors. So that's a very different role than staff, even though we work closely with staff to share information, but we do have a different responsibility and a different perspective.
Which is a different frame, almost like instead of what do you see as the needs, what do your older adults that are coming identify as their needs?
Yeah, so maybe it's with the toolkit, were you able to better serve the older adults with this toolkit? Did it help you? Was there something that when you were serving the older adults, you wished you had that didn't? And is there something that you thought was outstanding? So that's, I think that's how we want to frame it.
And again, it was just, we've got a lot of new people that need to introduce themselves to their senior centers. And, you know, and I know when I first came aboard, I knew the Buena Park director for years. But you know, it's like, oh my gosh, what do I say or what do I do? And this will give them an opening to just say, hi, I'm so-and-so, by the way, you know, we're not directing the directors to do anything, but like Elaine said it so much better. So Erica, Elaine, do you want to just put a quick question together? Or do you want me to and submit it to you guys to think about? Erica, you probably would word it better than I could. What you would like to see us ask?
And I think also, when is the next meeting of the senior center directors?
I need to look that up.
So maybe we want to time it so that it gets on their agenda or it's announced on their agenda. And then maybe an email can be sent out and our liaisons follow up and say, this was talked about at your meeting. we're following up to make sure, you know, to see how this tool was used and for you to, you know, we want your feedback. So, you know, and we can develop some questions for the senior center liaisons to ask them to, you know, not lengthy, maybe just two or three questions. That's it. Yeah, but I think we need to time it with, you know, like, so that it's announced at the director's meeting and this goes out and the contact is made right after. So they see a connection. And then we can have something every month or every 2 months for our liaisons to connect with. So some of these other ideas that were brought up can be, you know, follow on in following months.
I just want to help, especially the new people, the tools to open the doors. And this, what to me was the best way, communication, and, you know, give them a question. So thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay. John.
I think Cynthia defined it for me in her last statement. We've got relationships that are been around for a long time. And Cynthia's focusing on catching up the new people to where we may be, where Elizabeth or I or Jean, I'm looking around, may be already in relating to their assigned senior center. So I think that clarified it for me.
I don't know. I mean, my thing is, no matter what relation, even my relationship a long time with my Buena Park, getting the information that's new right now about they're just reopening, about the tools and what they think, is not about your long-term relationship. It's about just finding out what, like Elaine says, we represent the seniors and there's always some new information that they can give us.
Well, I tried, Cynthia, so I'll go back to the drawing board and listen some more. So anyway.
Yeah, and there's always a changeover in staff, and there's also sometimes when communication hasn't been as frequent as it may have been in the past, some perspectives are lost. So it's just, you know, we are representing the citizens or the seniors of Orange County. Okay, so I guess, Erica, if you could find out when that next meeting is, and then you and I can formulate a couple of questions, and then would you also have the link to the survey so that when the senior center liaisons send that out and follow up with an in-person or phone call, they can provide that, the way to take the survey.
And again, I'm just one or two questions. We don't need to have 10 questions or anything.
No, we don't need to. And also, you know, there are some members of SCAC who are, maybe their profession is to be engaged in senior issues, and others who are not. So there's, we want everyone to be comfortable with whatever level of competency they have to discuss these items. Okay, so does that cover your?
Thank you.
Okay, Cynthia. All righty, now moving on to Office on Aging updates, Erica.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. Office on Aging, just a few updates. I think I mentioned at our main SCAC meeting that we were working on issuing $20,000 senior nutrition grants in each of the Orange County districts, so for a total of $100,000. So that application closed. We got highly qualified applicants in each of the districts to provide services, so we're covered countywide. We did brief the board last week on who we are recommending for those awards. And so notices will be going out to the applicants this week that they were awarded a contract. And because of the dollar amount, we can get contracts in place pretty quickly. So we hope to execute those next week. This will be a really nice safety net because some of the nutrition gap programs are coming to an end. Particularly in District 5 and District 4, their funding is projected to be completely spent out in Nutrition Gap by May. So this will be kind of a nice safety net to continue to provide services for those clients that really need it. The other thing that's taking up a lot of our time at the Office on Aging right now is The state notified us on February 7th that we are receiving American Rescue Plan funding for all of the Older Americans Act programs. We knew it was coming, but the notice is really late. We had been hearing that ARPA money was coming as early as last summer. And then the state kept saying, well, we'll probably issue your funding in the fall. Oh, we're going to issue your funding by the end of the year. Oh, it's going to be January. No, January came and went. It wasn't until February that we finally got notified. And there's some nuances with ARPA funding as far as FEMA guidelines go that we didn't see with the CARES Act funding. And that the biggest change is that it's going to require us to go out to bid, do a full-blown RFP to issue ARPA funding, even though it's for Older Americans Act programs and we already have service providers doing those services, we have to do another RFP. The only thing that we have to lean on is that FEMA allows us to do non-competitive contracts for up to a year when a public emergency exists. So we will exercise that clause and do a 12-month retroactive contract from October to September. And then that will give us enough time to put together an RFP that will allow us to allocate the remaining funding through the term of the ARPA. And ARPA goes through September of 2024. So it's about 3 years worth of funding. Orange County in total got about $9.9 million. And I would say about almost half of that is going to nutrition. And then the remaining is going to the other Older Americans Act programs. So just because of the mechanism to get things in front of the Board of Supervisors for approval, doing retroactive contracts, doing non-competitive contracts, which is kind of a no-no in the county unless you have a really good justification, which we believe we do, it just requires a lot of additional paperwork and filings and things like that. So we're on a bit of a fast track, but we are going to the board on March 8th to accept the funds. And then we are going back to the board on March 22nd to issue those emergency contracts. And then as soon as those are executed, we will start the RFP process. And that will carry us through the summer, hopefully have those new contracts in place by October 1.
Erica, with this requirement for all those new full-blown RFPs, did the funding include any additional admin funding?
Not additional. It's the 10% cap. So it does give us some support for the Office on Aging. I've been kind of going back and forth with our budget office to justify additional positions with that money. Unfortunately, it's hard to get positions with funding that's considered temporary. But the good news is that we, and this ties into my last update, we already are approved to add 6 new positions to the Office on Aging because our baseline funding has gone up, funding that we can count on to be permanent. And those 6 positions are 3 manager positions, which are, it's going to be great because we have a lot of new contracted programs that we didn't have before, and that requires a manager level skill set. And then the other 3 positions are a staff specialist level, which support those managers. They're higher level positions like we have with Desiree. So they're highly qualified. And it's just in the county, it's that classification right before management. So it'll be a really big help to the Office on Aging once we have those vacancies filled. And I think that's all I have for my updates, unless there's any questions.
Hey, any questions for Erica? Dave? You're muted.
Out of curiosity, with all the funding, when does the redistricting take effect? Because I know Mission Viejo goes from District 5 to District 3. Does this happen after the next set of elections? When do you make the change relative to the new redistricting?
So I think your question is, when does the Office on Aging programs align with the new redistricting? Because redistricting already took effect in January. So we have those new district lines drawn for each of the board offices.
But the elections for those redistricts have not taken place. And that's my understanding is your representative will not will be effective on the next set of elections, not with the current set of elections.
So you mean the Orange County Board of Supervisor for that district?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, those will have to go through the election process, but the actual boundaries of where we provide services, those have already been established and those are in effect. So that board office or that Orange County Supervisor moved with that district. So let's say Supervisor Foley is the second district supervisor. Well, now she's still the second district supervisor, except the second district looks a little different than it did before redistricting.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So our district now is our funding for Mission Viejo, Lake Forest, that's all under District 3 now?
Yes, okay. Under Supervisor Wagner. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth?
Yeah. I have the same question. Dave and I are applying for a position, and we have to state what district are we in as far as their state senator? Used to be Pat Bates, but if you're in Mission Viejo, what is it now?
Erica, I can answer that.
Oh, good.
Please. I only know county.
you use the existing representative. So it will all change in the elections in November. We will update the directories at that time, but that has no impact on your CSL participation. There are 7 CSL members for Orange County. There will be 7 come November. Okay, regardless of where the elected official's new district is or this kind of thing, okay?
Okay, so everything is just as it used to be.
Correct.
As it has been.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
Dave, the second part of your question might be, how do we determine our service areas for contracts? If we're like in the middle of a 4-year contract cycle and redistricting takes place, it doesn't necessarily affect it too much because the way that we allocate funding is based on census data by city. So wherever that lands, we don't try and even it out or anything based on the Orange County district. It's based on city level census data.
That's a good question because our senior center is under AgeWell, which has been mainly considered southern part of Orange County. And yet our new district goes all the way up to Yorba Linda. And so how does mm-hmm. that really affect the funding for Mission Viejo? And you're saying there would be no change there?
No change there. It's by city.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But essentially there could be more than one provider covering that third district.
So we're under part of Gene's domain now with being part of Yorba Linda's.
I'm glad you recognize that, David. I was gonna mention that, but I'm glad to see you were perceptive enough to pick right up on that. So whatever crumbs we have left, we'll certainly kick down your way.
Sounds good.
Now you have Thanks, to say Gene. Nay. Okay. Any other questions for Erica? Erica, did you have anything else to share? Okay. Moving on to chair report, a new business. I may have mentioned this before, but I don't remember. So we did have a resignation from SCAC, and that was Irene Martinez because her workload with age well has increased, and so she's no longer able to participate. And then on the standing committee memberships, Dave Tetzlaff was a member of two standing committees, both senior citizens engagement and housing and transportation. And Dave has resigned from housing and transportation, but will remain on senior citizen engagement. And I have to say that Dave has done incredible work on that committee, especially leading the troops in getting the information for the digital divide. So thank you on that, Dave. Wellbeing Reimagined, we do have an application, and that's Andrea Collins. Is it Andrea or Andres? Because I've seen it both ways from the county, but
Andrea.
Andrea, okay, thank you. And Andrea has attended a meeting for the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee. So now her application is, she is eligible to apply. So is there a motion to approve Andrea Collins' membership on the Wellbeing Reimagined Standing Committee?
I'll make the motion to accept Andrea.
Second.
It moved by Jean Hernandez, seconded by Cynthia Thacker. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, carries unanimously. Andrea is now a member of the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee. You have a new member, Barbara. Okay, and now we are down to the what we've been working towards all year, our annual workshop. So just a slight recap on it. As you know, the standing committees do their work all year. At the annual workshop, we break into smaller groups where there should be members of each standing committee in each group. I was disappointed though at the number of absences for the annual workshop. So we actually had to then, instead of having five groups, had four, and did not have quite the dispersion of standing committee representation in each of the groups that was planned for and members were assigned. But there were still some very good discussions. It does go fast, but we got some good feedback when we all came back together. So when we all came back together, Erica is a great note taker and she put all that information down. And then her and I got together on how, remember, we're realigning our what we do with these California Master Plan on Aging's five bold goals. So then it was, we kind of aligned that input with the goals. So, and also then what is it we're presenting to the Board of Supervisors? Remember, it's not, we can't present everything in the world. It's what do they have control over? Because we're going to be asking them to allocate funding and resources to these specific things. So Erica and I, I give the all the credit to Erica because she did all the writing. I just kind of looked and made changes. So, and so that's what was sent to you last night. I appreciate your taking the time to read it before this morning's meeting. So now we're going to discuss it. And there's some, we realize there's going to be some things that need to be fleshed out. And then also please provide your input on other items, because what we'll do is we'll take that. And then at the next full SCAC meeting, it'll be brought forward to the full SCAC for their approval. Because before we present anything to the Board of Supervisors, we want to have the approval of all of our members. So first of all, there was the cover letter. Well, Erica, what do you have anything to add? Please chime in. Don't let me do all the talking.
Oh, you're doing such a great job, though. no, not at all. I think you covered it nicely. You know, I realized that we had quite a few folks missing, but I think some of that had to do with us having to recalendar that meeting because of the county holiday, and it didn't work with everyone's schedule. So we did the best we could with what we had, and I think we got some really good feedback, enough to put together some solid recommendations to the board this year. And one of the, I think, concrete recommendations out of, I forget what group she was in, but Patty Mouton mentioned that they would like to see the board allocate $3.5 million toward adult daycare, the social model, be it scholarships for additional slots or to expand programming, what have you. And so I followed up with Patty after the workshop to ask her if she had any data to support that. It's not that I don't see that that would be helpful, but when we're asking for the for funding from the Board of Supervisors, much like the Technology Committee did, we backed it up with metrics to support why that dollar amount, what that dollar amount would buy, you know, where is the gap in the community right now, that type of thing. So Patty is working on that. I don't know if we're going to be able to incorporate that because I don't know if she's going to be able to provide all that at the same time that we're going to need to have this ready, but we'll do our best. At the very least, you'll see, and I'm sure you saw if you reviewed it already, that we just said, please support additional state funding for adult daycare, because that's the other detail in there is that the funding for adult daycare comes from the California Department of Aging. It is state dollars. There is really no county funding that goes into that other than our required match to get the state funding. So I think that's it. I don't know how you want to discuss this, Elaine. I can share my screen and pull up the cover letter if anyone has any comments on that. Or if everyone's okay with the cover letter, I can share my screen and pull up the actual report.
Yeah, well, first, does anyone have any comments or suggested edits for the cover letter? I think it's pretty, yeah, no.
I thought it was excellent.
So let's go to the actual report then. So, and we'll take it, one by one as far as each of the goals.
Can you see that?
Well, no, we see your email, but we don't see the it as an attachment to an email, but we don't see the actual document. Now we see all of us.
There we go.
Okay, there it is.
Okay, I apologize for that. I thought I had it queued up.
All right, so basically the preface to the report introduces us and what our focus is. And then the first item is in relation to MPA goal number one, housing for all ages and stages. So any comments, discussion on this particular item? Cynthia?
We're on how the senior housing and transportation, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, so a clarification, because that's actually my thing. Of course, we understand that we want to include the microwaves, that's a physical thing, but access to broadband, what we were trying to go for was that, is that considered wired and do we need to be more specific and say wired for broadband, or, you know, in actually the access, I know you know, without having to pay for it, I guess, but they really wanted to. And anyway, so just access to broadband it's kind of too broad. My thoughts, anyway.
You know what though, Cynthia, I think you want it broad because the operational details will be worked out by whoever. Ultimately, if this is approved, we'll select the provider. So I wouldn't say hardwire because it may not be hardwire. It may be wireless kind of thing.
Yeah, and technology changes over time also.
Exactly.
Hey, okay, Meredith? And I'm new at this, so thank you for that clarification, Jean.
Meredith?
I used to work in this industry. So the way that TCAP works, which is how the funding comes from the state, the treasurer's office issues the tax credits. And when developers are bidding for the tax credit, which is how affordable housing comes to be, they already are choosing a list of service amenities. that are already set in stone, and they can do a mix and match. And depending on what they choose, they get a certain number of points, and that's how they're selected. So the microwaves and the broadband, broadband is already one of the choices that developers can make when they're bidding. And I'm not sure that the microwaves would be a good fit because this is already set in stone with the way the bidding process works.
To know.
Yeah. So basically we're telling them with the broadband, this needs to be one of the items you select off of that menu.
Mm-hmm. And but then other items like social services may go away.
Yeah, but then there's, you know, I think what this committee has done, though, is saying that access to the internet is important for health, for preventing isolation, preventing abuse. So there's many things that are targeted with that. So. And as far as the microwaves, I mean, it's worth a mention, and that might be the little carrot. That might be something that, you know, the supervisors, when they are speaking with different developers, highlight how important it is. It draws their attention to it because most of us assume, doesn't every home have a microwave? But as some of our members have found out, that's not the case when they've gone to some senior developments. So,
Meredith, do you know, Does the county have to put in any local funds to match that for the development? Or, I mean, how
typically
does
it's the
housing
city
and community development? Okay.
And then sometimes the county, you know, the funding is very complex. Sometimes it's up to like 8 or 9 funding streams, including MHSA now and the homeless services funding. So there's a huge mix of funding sources. So the county does usually have a small part, but it's not the priority funder, I wouldn't say. And then banks are funding as well.
Okay, so any edits to item number 1? No? Okay. Item number 2, caregiver support. Comments, questions, edits? I don't see any hands up. I see people still reading. So just speak up because I can't see all of you. So so just start talking. And this is aligned with Health Reimagined Caregiver Support.
So if Patty's able to come through with some solid metrics, this is probably the category that we would be able to fit this in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And this is something we need to keep our eye on, that we're not spending the caregiver, because then there won't be caregivers left. And then we're going to increase the population of people who need care. So, John, you had your hand up.
This is directed at Erica. Janice and I met with Carol Swartzlander, who's the executive director for the commission. She shared her priorities and her goals for 2022. One of those was workforce strengthening, the direct care, gerontology, geriatrics, and related field workforce. So when you write this, you know, maybe you can, maybe there's some benefit to referencing that, by the way, the state Commission on Aging is going in this direction as well. So just some food for thought.
Is that something you can forward to us, John?
I was just going to ask if Carol put any of that in writing.
She did. Let me check with her to see. I can't imagine that it would be a secret, but let me just validate that she's okay if I share it with the AAA in Orange County. I don't see that as a problem, but I just don't want to, I've worked awfully hard to get this relationship. I don't want to blow it all of a sudden in one fell swoop.
No, that's good. It's good to show respect for the relationship. So, but then this would also, you know, kind of when you're, when you've got two entities asking for the same thing, it, the message has a better chance of being heard.
And one of her other priorities is housing and homelessness. So that's good to know as well. So I'm sure there won't be a problem. I'll get back to Erica within within the day, and we should have an answer.
Perfect. Yeah, anything that we can reference that a state entity is already working on, that would be great.
Okay. Thank you, John. Anything else on item number two, caregiver support? Okay, item three, elder abuse prevention. I know there was a lot of discussion in SCAC on the 5150 hold, and that's not really within the purview of the Orange County Board of Supervisors. That's within the purview of the state legislature, but it's, you know, recommending, we're recommending that they include it in our county's legislative platform, and it's drawing attention to that. And I think with the increasing number of seniors in our population, that really is something that needs to be discussed. And it's for the safety of the senior with the dementia, so that they have the opportunity to be properly evaluated.
You know, Elaine, just a question I'd like to throw out. We always say that the fraud scams against elderly is epidemic. Do we have stats that show that's the case? And can we make comparisons of what it's been in the past and what is today? So I'd like to know, are any of our efforts, law enforcement efforts, impacting that number to go down, or is it increasing because as we age, there's more of us, there's more susceptibility to the scams? I'm sure it probably isn't. My gut tells me it is, but I've never seen a stat that confirms that.
You know what? And I was going to comment too, when we talked about here, this task force, I mean, we have, aren't there other, you know, hasn't that been already done? And Jean's right. What kind of results are we getting? Is this task force really effective? I know we all have these little incidences, but overall, is it a major instance? Are we, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, we talked about informing the people. So I just want to know how effective these task force are.
Yeah, it's like a factoid. You know, we throw it out and it's just universally accepted, but has anyone really checked on it?
Yeah, exactly.
So we could check with the DA's office and also with the OCSD. And yeah, then also, and I know they have stood up a new internet fraud assessment. Actually, one of our crime prevention specialists from Laguna Niguel she spoke to SCAC, Kimberly McDonald. And she was taken from Laguna Niguel to be part of the this task force over at the Sheriff's Department. So we'll see if we can get some information on that. And I know we've heard during COVID, there were many more opportunities for the scamsters to provide or to scam people with false claims of COVID assistance. And I know we've all noticed all of these things coming in on our cell phones now. You know, click here, you know, your Wells Fargo bank account, you know, you get a rebate or something. Like, I don't have a Wells Fargo.
There's no question there are new frauds and scams constantly evolving, but that's not the same as saying, and therefore victims are in the increase.
Yeah, well, and I also think what we're looking for is something specifically geared towards seniors, because how you communicate that may be different than to the broader population.
Good point.
So, Dave.
Yeah. Jean, have you heard of the triad programs through the National Sheriff's Association?
I have. I'm vaguely familiar with that. Not real. I've heard the term.
I have.
Okay. Because we had a triad program in Wisconsin, which, you know, fits in very nicely with this proposal, but I just hadn't heard too much about it in California.
Now, I don't think it's popular out here yet.
Okay. Okay. But this would kind of fit in with that, with that proposal, but I just didn't know the politics in California versus what we had in Wisconsin there. And that we control, we manage the Triad program, coordination of seniors, sheriff's departments, police department, Department of Justice. And we had quite activities that would inform seniors through the senior centers of fraud that was happening on a regular basis. And so this program kind of fits nicely into that proposal. But
I'll follow up with our sheriffs and see if they're making any progress or what their evaluation of that is, and is it something we can look for in the future?
Okay. Yeah, and that could be that can be coordinated out of OC1, or we conducted it out of the Retired Senior Volunteer Program, and and right now they're giving workshops on Google that is being established that is informing seniors of continuous fraud, new fraud situations.
So I know we're supposed to be a little bit broad, but again, this, fraud for seniors and this and that have been going on, why we need to help fix it. So I don't see this changing, because unless it has been effective. And so Jean, I appreciate you finding out if it has, because just throwing out that we need it and we've done that for 10, 15 years is, should we be a little bit more specific in the long run?
Well, keep in mind that we do have an ongoing graying population. So we always keep adding new seniors into this mix who may or may not be familiar with fraud schemes for elderly. I'm sure as we get older, we're aware of fraud schemes. I mean, everything I get, I see is, yeah. I know immediately when it's a fraud. But that's not to say that we can't over-communicate in this particular area. And I think it is beneficial to over-communicate.
Oh, I do too. I just, maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's too broad, and this is the time to be a little bit more specific with a successful program.
So Jean, you're going to look to see, you're going to look into Triad, and you're also going to then connect with OCSD regarding what the stats are for.
Yes. Oh, you want me to do the stats too?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're communicating with them. That would be appreciated. Okay. Any other comments on this particular section 3? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to section 4. Which is professional careers in aging. And this aligns with MPA goal number 4, caregiving that works. So any comments on this particular section?
I'm just reading it now. I'm wondering if we want to call out a little bit more that there are many people that want to go into nursing, but that the schools don't have the enrollment available.
Yeah, well, they don't have the instructors available.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue.
So yeah,
they got tons of enrollment. They don't have the instructors.
How do we develop a pipeline of nursing instructors?
Right.
Maybe somehow that's when a nurse retires from actual nursing. So maybe there's a bridge program to get them over to the colleges.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we want to mention that more specifically.
Seek opportunities to develop nursing instructors.
And therefore increase capacity for students to enroll.
Mm-hmm.
Are we including that in the body of the issue, or are we spinning it in a way that the board can control as a recommendation?
Well, I think both. I think you want to identify the problem in the body And then in the recommendation, this is how we solve that.
This is actually a constant discussion on local social media of people wanting to become nurses and they can't get into Saddleback and they can't get in here. And so they don't want to go into a $200,000 private pay program. And
yeah.
So the community college district that offers nursing programs?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. I know the one at Saddleback's very popular. And they also have them at the UCs too.
Yeah.
Okay, I can work on that.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to three for just a second?
Yeah, well, let's finish four and then we'll go back to three.
Right.
Okay. So on four, and then is there any way, do we want to address anything with maybe, and I don't know what this would be since I'm not in education. Well, I used to be, but for little ones, not college. What would be an incentive for a retiring nurse? Because I know the issue is there aren't enough nurses at that level to be a college instructor. But what's the incentive to bridge a nurse who's retiring over to become a college instructor? Because that's less physically demanding. So you're not lifting patients anymore, but.
What college level?
Somebody laughing.
What college level are you referencing? Junior college or the four-year academic program? Because the instructors or professors are at the JC or junior college level have different requirements than a professor at a four-year college.
Well, I'm looking at either one. I think both of them, depending which route the student wants to go, but they're both programs, both pathways are impacted by lack of instructors.
Granted, the requirement's just less at the junior college level in terms of attempting to be an instructor, to qualify to be an instructor.
Right. Being an instructor at the community college, you need a master's.
That's what I was going to say is I don't know if every retired nurse would even qualify to then become an instructor, because I think the nursing education is a different.
So then maybe there's a short-term program or developed if they already have their BSN. Maybe this is a question for Carolyn Inman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was going to look into this, I think, when we spoke about it at the workshop.
Okay. But I think it is something that, you know, because until that issue is addressed, we're going to keep talking about the lack of caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have programs of, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but they'll put in like a, you know, a special, say they take a nurse in, so they can waive some of the teaching requirement education part because they have the life experience, but it depends on what you're going to talk about. But don't they?
Yeah, maybe it could be master's or equivalent experience for the community colleges.
Okay, but so now let's get back to the Board of Supervisors. How does the Board of Supervisors influence that?
I don't think so.
Not really within their purview.
I feel like they could do it by having discussions with the community college district at a higher level because, and I could be wrong, but my perception as just a member of the public is that there's this intractable problem and no one's trying to solve it.
Yeah, or would they be willing to provide scholarships to nurses to go into that module to get their teaching credential or whatever it is they need?
Well, I will tell you, with intractable problems, Meredith, no politician wants to get their hands on it because it's intractable. You can't solve it.
And then there's reality, right?
Easily. But that doesn't mean we can't find who has ownership for and go to them and say, well, this is your responsibility. And I think Elaine's right that with the supervisor, it's more an influential or lending the weight of their office to make it a priority. And don't downplay that influential power, because they can have meetings, throw the problem out there and tell them to solve it, kind of thing.
Well, and also we need to give it, it needs to be presented to their staff, for their staff to come up with the solution and then present it to the elected. And then the elected looks like the hero.
Yes.
I've solved this problem. And
when I talk about the supervisors, I'm always talking about their staff. that's what's going to do the work.
So I think we need to identify the problem, and if we can't come up with the solution, or Carolyn hasn't come up with anything, maybe that the recommendation to the Board of Supervisors is they work with the community college district or the college systems to, and I don't know what the wording is, make it easier for people to get what they need to become a nursing teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was very bad wording. So I'm going to, but I'm going to let Erica wordsmith it, because she's really good at
that. Well, I just don't think we know enough about what the requirements are, what the barriers are to someone going into that field or becoming an instructor. So once we know what the criteria is, and I think Carolyn can help us with that, or at least point us to the right people who can tell us, then we can craft the message. Okay. So I can follow up with Carolyn.
Okay.
Unless someone already knows that she's working on it.
Yeah. But I think it is important to put it in here, because if we don't, we're just going to keep talking about it, and it's not going to get on anyone's radar.
Okay.
So anything else on item number 4? Okay, now John wanted to go back to item 3.
I only wanted to make you aware that in my similar conversation with Michael Costa, the executive director for C4A, the issue of reference in number 2, SCAC recommendation for state funding for volunteer coordinator positions. So that's something on their radar screen as well. You want, Erica?
Wait a minute, John, you said 3. Are you now on 2?
No, elder abuse prevention.
Okay.
Down in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph SCAC recommendation to provide state funding for volunteer coordinator positions within the county. I just wanted you to be aware that's an issue that C4A's focused on at their level as well. So that's just something for Erica to be an FYI, just like the Carol Sewell, the Carol Swartzlander priorities.
Thank you for reminding me of that, John, because I have been privy to those conversations in the C4A meetings that is being heavily advocated for.
And the original perception, I think, Erica, was that there was 12, I don't remember if it was million or billion, in funding, but that none of that funding was earmarked for volunteers, you know, expanding the supervision of volunteers in the county. So that's a different funding element. So originally they thought that might be something they could tap into, but that's my understanding is that's not the case. They're going to have to get additional funding.
I'll check with Michael on the exact language that the Ledge Committee there is using, because why reinvent the wheel? And then I can tuck it in there.
Great.
Thanks, John.
You got it.
Thank you. Okay, we are now on to item 5, affordable aging. And this aligns with the Master Plan on Aging goal number 5.
This was your in the moment great idea, Elaine. Here it is.
Wow. It's on. It made it to paper. It made it to the first draft. We'll see if it stays.
I think it's good because being an informed consumer is very, very daunting when you're already under a great deal of stress, most likely. You haven't dealt with this before, most likely. And then everyone has a different mechanism. So having it in a way that consumers and their family members can understand and make apple to apple comparisons seems very meaningful.
Yeah, I just went through that last year and it is daunting. I did rely a little bit on, my mom was part of Kaiser, so they did help me, but who knows if, you know, if you don't have more to compare with, that you would trust exactly just one information. So I love this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I don't see in here, and maybe I'm just not reading it correctly, but I know when we talked about having that standardized rate sheet for comparison, that they need to provide that to be included in the public database. What I'm seeing here is they need to provide a rate sheet and pricing information, but I don't see that they need to basically fill out that template so that people can compare different ones. And I don't know, maybe I'm not reading this correctly.
So the last sentence on that first paragraph is, it says rate sheet and pricing information should be a condition of inclusion into public referral databases.
Right, but whose rate?
Should we add
the uniform rate sheet?
Yeah, the Orange County uniform rate sheet. Because rate sheet, they could say, well, we supplied our rate sheet. That doesn't mean that it's in the format that we want it so that people can compare. And you don't want to put the Office on Aging or anyone else in the position of, you know, a company coming after you saying, well, we did what you want and you're not including us. No, it's the uniform rate sheet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
No wiggle room.
Well, you know, as you all know, when you have to make these decisions, there's a lot of stress involved. Oh, there's a lot of it has to be done by tomorrow because mom or dad's coming out of the hospital.
Right.
You just need to be able to evaluate and make that decision and not feel like they're playing a shell game with you. So
this will help discharge planners too.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, Cynthia. Thank you for all your input. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you again. Bye-bye, you guys.
Bye.
Okay. That clarifies things. So I'm thinking of it in terms of if a company, an assisted living or an in-home care agency wants to be included in our database or 211's database or anybody else that provides information and referral services, we ask them to complete an application and then they submit that back to us and we vet that application before we add them to our database. That uniform Orange County rate sheet should be part of that application process. They should also have to complete that before submitting their application to us.
Right.
And that needs to be included. Got it. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. And what you may want to do is find out, or you may already know this, when someone goes to assisted living, what are the most frequently asked for add-ons? And maybe provide three different samples of, you know, here's an add-on with someone who needs, you know, two showers a week and daily medication.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an add-on of someone who needs to be escorted to the dining room, just so they have different, but that it's standard what they're looking at when they're comparing across different facilities.
Okay.
Meredith?
This is kind of unrelated, but it just came to my attention. And maybe everyone else already knew this, but I had someone in Ladera Ranch contact me that wanted to use Access. And I learned for the first time that Ladera Ranch has no Access service.
You need to be near a fixed bus stop.
Exactly. So the older adults and people with disabilities that live there do not have access to access.
Yeah, I know that was an issue down here in Laguna Niguel when they cut the bus routes, because no one was using the buses in certain parts of town, and then people lost access. But there are other forms of senior transportation. And do you have OC Flex up there?
They do not. I called OCTA because I'm on their advisory committee, and staff told me there is no OC Flex and that they may be able to add in more services in 2040.
Oh. So how is the senior be in 2040?
How is the transportation? I forgot the new acronym for that. They're going to have a speaker. I got them a speaker, two speakers, kind of a little panel thing between OCTA and TCA to explain what options they do have for seniors. In this case, they were looking for affordable options. What options are there all across the board? B, affordability, can they get a discount on the tolls? And then C, put it on their radar, just what you said, Meredith. If they don't, what are they doing about that? This is an issue. We need to create this issue. I sit on OCTA, so I will make sure we start bringing this up as we gel, that this is starting to be an issue. Is an issue, and we need to figure this out. And they're aware of that because they know they get a lot of folks call, hey, here's where I'm at. Well, I'm sorry, you're not, especially in South County, you're not near a bus stop, so we can't do anything kind of deal. And it's a matter of cost. It's just not cost effective for one person to go out there. But let's bring it up and see. There's got to be some remedy for this.
Well, the OCTA staff person that I spoke to was named Kim, and she was saying that OCTA could choose to not have a fixed route but still have access, that they don't have to be paired.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. So we just need to ask that question and make it happen.
So also, Ladera is unincorporated, so it's the Board of Supervisors that would handle their senior mobility program?
OCTA handles that because they handle transportation for the county, including county areas.
Well, but I know in our cities, we're the ones who determine what the parameters of the senior mobility program is and how many trips and where it's going to go.
Yeah, that we get a report on that. Well, who's that report we get from? Isn't that from the Office on Aging? Is that the one that gives us that amount of trips?
That's for the non-emergency medical transportation program that's run through the Office on Aging.
Well, isn't that we're talking about here, non-emergency doctor's visits, that kind of thing?
No, I think senior mobility is different.
Mm-hmm.
Senior mobility is people taking a yellow cab to our senior center.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they just need an efficient, available, low-cost means of transportation.
Well, it'd be interesting to know how much it would cost OCTA to have access service without a fixed route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll check that out.
So, Jean, did you say that on the toll road, seniors get a discount?
No, they don't. We're going to ask the toll, why don't they and why can't they?
Yes. Let me know as soon as we do.
Well, they're making a bundle and there's no reason they
can't. Another question is, why do we still have the toll road? But that's a totally different topic.
You know what, Meredith? That's a great question. But I will tell you, once you develop an organization, it's like an amoeba. There is a need to exist and continue to grow, regardless if your host is
dying. Because I remember when we authorized the toll road that it was going to be not forever.
Oh boy. Yeah. Well, it should have morphed into you're going to become operators of the toll roads, but they've done mission. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's some apparently a mission creep to show that, well, we want to look at South County. We want to, want to do tolls. Well, transportation planning is not their mission statement. That's OCTA.
Mm.
But you're right, Meredith. That's a great question.
And could keep us on this Zoom for the rest of the day.
Oh, boy. Yes, it could.
Okay, so let's get back to item number 5. Anything else we want to include in this or anything we want to flush out on what we've already stated?
The only other thing that's kind of nagging in the back of my mind is, we talked about housing. This is also affordable aging. But I think it would be neat if we have room in this proposal to ask the Board of Supervisors to ask their legislative advocates to deal with that cap of 15% of affordable housing being for seniors. Statewide, only 15% of affordable housing is for seniors.
So would that be in 5 or would that be in 1?
I don't know either.
I think it might fit more with 1 because we're talking about affordable, we're talking specifically about housing.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge problem. And of course it's not under the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors, but if they could alert the state that they think it's an issue.
I think that's a good idea, but I'm wondering if we're putting too many things right. that are not within the board's purview, and then it's they lose focus on the things that they can do.
I can see that too.
And they easily lose focus, so that's a good point, Lee.
I'm not implying anyone in particular. Okay, any thoughts? Any additional thoughts on that? Okay, so Erica, do you have what we need?
Yes, let me just recap some of our changes. So John is going to get some information from the California Commission to see if we can have some verbiage that we can reference. And then I'm going to follow up with Carolyn Inman to see if she has some information on the criteria for nursing instructors at the colleges, and see if we can include that in the careers in aging. And then I will change number 5 to include the Orange County uniform rate sheet, that must be completed as part of the application for inclusion into databases. And we decided to not add anything more on transportation because that really is outside of the board's purview, right? And then the last thing that I'm going to follow up on is get with C4A on what their language is for advocating for volunteer coordinator positions for the AAAs. And I think that's it. That's all I have.
I may have missed it. Did you say you were going to connect with Carolyn Inman?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing this, Erica. It's very well written.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's easy to do when everyone else has done all the hard work. It's just me putting it all together. So.
Yeah. No. And I love the way you formatted it because you've aligned it with the goals, and it's just. It's easy for the supervisors to then connect the dots on what we should be doing as a county, how that connects to what the state is working on.
Okay, good. I'm glad that made sense. I wasn't sure if we should lead with the goal or just kind of bring it home and how it ties to the goal at the end. So I'll keep it as is.
Yes, that's good.
Great. So, so Erica will work on this. I would say Erica and I will work on it, but it's really Erica. Thank you. But we'll go over it. And then I think we'll wait until we have the final approved by SCAC until we put Dave Tetzlaff's eagle eyes on it. No sense having Dave go over versions that may be edited. So Dave, we're saving you for last.
Save you. All right. You're going to have 2 hours to spare?
Oh, we'll let you go over it and then let us know.
Sounds good.
So Elaine, since this is an action item, do we want to have SCAC exec vote on whether or not to move this forward to the main SCAC, provided all the updates that were discussed today?
Yes, because we reviewed it, we edited it. So was there a move to approve the report be forwarded to main SCAC with amended as edited?
I move.
Moved by second. Meredith. Second. They're seconded by Elizabeth. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Okay, so this will go be forwarded to the main SCAC after it is edited as we have discussed.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your input. Old business. I don't have any old business. Does anyone have anything that we need to follow up on? Okay. And chair comments. I think I've talked enough. But again, I can't thank Erica enough for all the work she has put into this. And, you know, with not only her work, her writing, and her professional perspective on this is, you know, providing a voice for Orange County seniors to the Board of Supervisors. So thank you, Erica. Okay, on to standing committee update. Jean.
Well, I too think I've talked a lot. I know all the committees are doing very well. They're very focused on their challenge to bring the goals that support what we just discussed here. They'll be discussing that in at our next workshop. So, Barbara, anything you want to chime in with? And Barbara's doing a great job, by the way. And even though she keeps downplaying that, she is doing awesome. You're muted, Barbara. There you go.
I unmuted. The only thing I would like to say is that Carrie Keene did a presentation at our last meeting that was phenomenal, talking about the Parkinson exercise program. And some of our, who was it, Crystal Miles asked if she would present at their city council meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's a fascinating program that they have that they want to expand through the county. So if I'm sure that other, they would be, she would be a great presenter for our whole SCAC monthly meeting.
Okay, good resource, great. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, Elaine. Everybody else is online focused, doing a good job. Meredith, anything you want to chime in with? I know you're all over that committee.
I also really appreciated Carrie's presentation. It actually almost brought me to tears to see people living with Parkinson's disease having this opportunity to be able to exercise and maintain their mobility.
Good, good. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Genia. And Meredith, Carrie's here in Laguna Niguel.
Yes.
I don't know if you've had the opportunity to go visit.
Not yet, but she has a video that she showed us of in Laguna Niguel, and I recognize the landscape.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I was wondering where that was shot.
In our fair city.
Huh. Okay. Meredith, you're up next. Presentation schedule.
Yes, hello everyone. So things are humming right along. In March, we're going to be having the three senior nutrition providers for the county give a spotlight on senior nutrition. It'll be interesting to hear them give an update after they basically talked a lot about their pivots for COVID last year. So we're looking forward to that. In April, we're having the Council on Aging talk about their volunteer impacts and opportunities. In May, we have scheduled the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to talk to us about mental health awareness and Talk Saves Lives for Seniors. So there will be a specific senior focus on how having open discussions and dialogues can prevent suicide. And then we're dark in June. In July, I was thinking that it might be good to talk about transportation options for older adults. So maybe especially given the topic that we had today. I don't know what you all think about that. I know we've had OCTA before. Would it be beneficial to have OCTA and maybe some of the other providers come in July?
And I think also some discussion on how areas that are not in, you know, in how seniors who are not in highly populated areas are served with their transportation needs.
So would we call that unincorporated areas? And
well, unincorporated, and then there's also like I said, here in Laguna Niguel, there's some that, you know, no longer have access to access. So what do you do? You know, what are the other thing options out there that we may not be aware of? Is Gene giving me a thumbs up or telling me?
No, I was giving you a hitchhike.
Oh, we will not be recommending that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of an opportunity for elder abuse. So let's not do that.
Getting back to the scam conversation. Mm-hmm. So I will work on that if everyone's in agreement that that's a good topic for July. In August, I was thinking that, Erica, if it's okay with you, we could invite the housing navigator to speak from the Office on Aging / Dale McIntosh.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding.
I know that on our local social media, someone even put recently, and I know Elaine, you saw it too, you know, my uncle is in his 80s. He has nowhere to move. He needs to rent a bedroom. Like, what do we do? So I know it's a topic that a lot of people are thinking about.
And that actually scared me because it's like, so you're putting an 80-year-old in a bedroom in a home of people you don't know.
Right. So that doesn't have language access. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was tough. But I think that we have more and more solo seniors, as they're called, that are couch surfing, that are not technically homeless, but do need help with housing navigation. It's a topic that is of concern to many people in Orange County. In September, I was thinking of that we might want to focus our presentation on Intergenerational Month. I know that there are some programs that bring the two generations together. We have one in Laguna Niguel. I'm sure that there's others. I know the Procern Foundation has senior artists in Orange County working with young people through their stipend program. So I thought that it's Intergenerational Month. So I thought we could tie into that for Orange County.
Yeah, and that's good because September's back to school month too. So
good point. Get those volunteers. And then November is Family Caregivers Month. And so I was wondering if we might want to invite the Caregiver Resource Center. It seems like that's a topic that we've been working on and they're seeing the uptick in the number of people that are reaching out to them. I thought it might be beneficial for us to hear about what's working well, and many things are, but also the gaps that they're seeing and their ability to respond since their funding is about the same and they have a lot more people seeking help.
Might be good to have them do kind of a panel presentation with Alzheimer's OC because
great idea.
They're serving caregivers primarily as well.
And also, I know we've been meeting virtually. I don't know at what point this stops. Erica, do you have any idea on that?
No, I was just talking to Desiree this morning about how crazy it is for us administratively to keep track of all these special meetings. You know, I know that they're only 5 minutes in and of themselves, but still to post the agendas and the prep time and everything, it's a lot. But I mean, the other end of that is to go in person and then you risk the attendance because there's a lot of people that just wouldn't come in person if that was the only option.
Mm-hmm. And a few of our speakers, because when I do outreach now, I say it may be on Zoom, it may be on a senior center, we're not sure. Like for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, they said, oh, no, we'll do Zoom. So I don't know if all the speakers are prepared to return in person either.
Well, also, I think the speakers are going to speak closer to this point in time rather than further out in the year. Do we want to plan for November to be either or, and as we get closer to that, to reevaluate? Okay. I know, and traditionally we have, it's not part of SCAF, it's just all of us afterwards have that holiday lunch, and it might be right. Good for people to get together after how many years. So I'm thinking, and please chime in if anyone has any other thoughts, that for the November meeting, it would be either, you know, we plan for both ways. And as we get closer to November, see whether or not, number one, we're still able to meet via Zoom. I don't know what the governor is going to do and what the preference for the SCAC members are, but at least have that flexibility as we approach November.
The other option, if I might suggest, is even if we're meeting in person as a council, we could always have the speaker provide it via Zoom and just project it. on a big screen, if that's their comfort level.
Okay. And I could go ahead and put in a reserve for the Laguna Niguel Community Center. And we have screens all around the room. And
so my plan is to work on the rest of the schedule for 2022 this week and next week. And I'm hoping to just have it completed.
You're doing a great job. You're bringing us very informative speakers, ones that are helping us to meet our mission. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm also, just so everyone knows, I'm asking people ahead of time to do the pledge and the inspiration so that that's not a rush at the end, but then they're going to have to remember with their own calendar or with the agenda.
Yeah, people are supposed to read the agenda before the meeting, instead of we're at the meeting like, oh.
And I have a backup inspiration on my desk, so.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. So I'll send this out in another couple of weeks when I have it completed for 2022. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Meredith. Barbara.
I just had a thought about the meeting in person with the cost of gasoline now for many people coming to, you know, a meeting from one end of the county to the other. It's costly.
Yeah, but we used to meet every month at one end of the
I know we used to. No, I, you know, I it, no. it no, does I not affect me, but that is with people on a budget, that is could be a problem.
Yeah.
Getting people out to do that.
Yeah, but then another side of that is the members are still getting their stipends for the meetings that they're not driving to.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But I think that people are going to want a choice. Isn't that interesting? I think that everyone's going to want to have that hybrid option.
That mm-hmm. Well, then also, Erica, that's another thing. Can we offer a hybrid option? Again, we don't know what changes the governor's going to make to this. This is a little early in the year. So we'll just be flexible. Okay, anything else regarding the presentation schedule or future meetings?
The only other thing I would like to ask, Jean, maybe you could facilitate this. If there is a really wonderful speaker that comes to one of the committees, it would be nice for me to be able to get an email recommending that presenter for the larger SCAC
sure.
meeting.
Sure, no problem. I'll make sure that happens.
Okay, on we already did item 10, the senior center liaisons. So we're on to item 11, members in good standing. Elizabeth?
I've been in touch as far as the volunteer hours go, sending reminders, but almost everybody has done it for 2021. We just have like three people. But forget Sherry Geyer. Okay.
Yeah.
She's out. And as far as attendance goes, it's been very good.
Okay. Well, hopefully we're only 2 months into the year. So. Right. Okay. Anything else, Elizabeth?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any announcements? So here in Laguna Niguel on March 9th, we are having a Medicare fraud presentation by Mickey and was it Nakazawa? Please
help. Medicare Patrol.
Yes. She's official. No, I've heard her presentation before and it's excellent. And there are new ways that people are scamming seniors as far as their Medicare. So if you're near Laguna Niguel on March 9th, at 5:30 p.m., come to Sea Country Senior and Community Center to hear the presentation. Okay, anything else? No other announcements? Okay, our next executive board meeting is on March 22nd via Zoom because we already approved AB 361. And it will begin at 9:30. And with that, I appreciate all that you're doing. And we are adjourned at 11:04 a.m.
Have a good day, everyone.
You too. Have